Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Let me start with an apology. Please, please forgive me. I know some of you have been sitting in the lobby for a little while. Something came up that I had to, that required my immediate attention. I had to attend to something. And so we are very, 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 very late tonight. Please forgive me, but we're here talking Ole Miss signing day and, you know, the drama that came with that. Although the theme of the night and the theme of signing day for Ole Miss is that frankly, they did just a really good job with this recruiting class. The number 14 recruiting class in the country, with the transfer portal opening up on Monday. This is the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I am very, very glad that you are with me. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating. If you like what you hear anyway, leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. All editions of this podcast are presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Check them out, DJ Gregory. He's in Fulton, but he can service you anywhere. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. And that's something that, you know, you may not need him today. I hope that none of you guys ever need the services of DJ Gregory. But the thing is, life does happen to us. And when it does, if you have been personally injured, you don't want to be stuck not knowing where to go. DJ Gregory is where you go in the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. Also, small business. You're a small business owner. You need some legal advice, or that's something that, you know, you think you might start down the road, or whatever the case may be, save that number. Reach out to DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. If you've been injured, don't wait another second. 662-397-9799, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So, Ole Miss signed, at least so far, and I guess, you know, it's the early signing period, not signing day. More players are being added. I mean, today is Thursday. Ole Miss added a flip from Arkansas, a blue-chip offensive lineman, to the class. Apparently, they're in on maybe a couple more guys as well. So, signing day is over, but they're still adding players to the class. It's just kind of how it goes sometimes in the new era of college football. Nothing can ever be simple anymore. However, let's start with the class itself, and then we can get to the drama, then we'll get to your comments. Probably a little bit of a shorter stream tonight just because of the timing, and it's exclusively my fault, but still. This class is evidence of something. And, like, we could go through the individual players if we'd like, and I'm sure you guys have done that already. And, you know, there's 24 players in the class at the moment. Not all 24 are going to be great players. Not all 24 are going to be sophomores at Ole Miss. I mean, that's just kind of college football these days. But that's kind of how it's always been, right? The important thing in recruiting is to stack good classes because it's not an exact science. There is a diamond in a rough out there that, you know, nobody recruited that ended up becoming a star like Demario Davis, right? He went to Arkansas State. He's an outlier, though. He is an exception. He is not the rule. Patrick Willis, to use Ole Miss as the example, is an exception, not the rule. There is a direct correlation between recruiting class rankings, the number of blue chip players you have in your recruiting class, and success on the field in players put in the NFL. There is a direct correlation between them. You cannot win without adding good players to your team. Coaching and development is great, and it's helpful, and guys can overcome lesser recruiting classes, but you're not competing for championships without signing high-level classes with a blue-chip ratio of over 50% because it's never happened before. And Ole Miss is clearly in the blue-chip index, which, again, is 50% blue-chip prospects or higher No team with a blue chip ratio below 50% has ever won a championship. Generally speaking, it is 15 to 20 teams in college football, usually fewer than 20, are in the blue chip ratio. And that's what this class for Ole Miss is. Last year's class was right at 50%, if I remember correctly. But sure, there are individual players that are going to end up being great in this class. There are individual players that are going to help them this year. Caleb Cunningham, a lot of people think that he's going to end up being somebody that is a day one help for Ole Miss in this upcoming season, even at wide receiver. But more importantly, I think what this means is a big picture situation. A recruiting class like this has depth, right? It's not like 2 5 stars and it falls off after that. They have blue chippers on offense, multiple wide receivers. They have them on defense, especially the defensive backs. They have defensive linemen. They have offensive linemen. The depth that they have amassed in this recruiting class as they finish in the top 15 is an indication that the program and what they are selling and also what the way that they are funded is still very, very healthy. And that is a big thing, because even though we talked about it and that it was kind of a bit of a ridiculous talking point was, well, Ole Miss has all of their chips in 2024 and they've spent all of their money and it's all about 24. And when 24 ends, what are they going to do, right? That was the talking point. And Ole Miss underachieved in 2024 on the football field. They did, and we've talked about that enough. But what they have turned that into is a top 15 class, and you know what they're going to do in the transfer portal. So this is an indication that not only is Ole Miss football not dead, but despite the all-in aspect of 2024, they're not going anywhere if they continue to stack classes like this one and continue to add in the transfer portal the way that they have. This is sustainable. We've talked about the 38 wins in 4 years. If they win the bowl game, it'll be 39 in 4 years. That's sustained winning at Ole Miss. Recruiting like this will make that sustainability even easier for them. So, yes, great individual players. They've done really good in a lot of places. They've done really good in the state of Mississippi for the most part, signing the number one player in each of the last 3 years in the state. All of those things are true. But I do think that what they've done in recruiting this year and even last year, but especially this year, is a sign that they can continue winning at the level that they have won over 4 years. And the idea that they are screwed, for lack of a better phrase, after 2024, the player acquisition aspect of building a program appears to be very, very healthy for Ole Miss. And then, of course, we had the Lockhart situation. I chose on the radio show today. So I was asked by a friend right before the show started about, you know, what would happen or like what I should do. He was like, you're going to go really in on Mississippi State, right? And I was like, honestly, not really. And here's why. And maybe it's because I'm a little bit cynical or whatever. Look, I know the situation is weird at best. And you have, I mean, it's been reported by people that cover Mississippi State that, you know, the family would not sign the papers and essentially would not let him go to Ole Miss. We had one texter on the radio show suggest that that was just a giant troll job, that Lockhart just wanted to troll Lane Kiffin, and no, that's not what happened. He chose Ole Miss on signing day, and he did not get to go to Ole Miss for whatever reason. Seems like the family would not allow him to do it. Where my cynicism comes in is I was more surprised that it was so publicly discussed that it went down that way. If I were Mississippi State, I would have tried to suppress that information as best as possible. I would have had the player come out and say that, like, I had a change of heart, or I realized we're home. I would have done it that way. And when you've got state-friendly media openly talking about family wouldn't sign the papers. I'm just surprised that it's been so openly discussed, because that phenomenon is not new in recruiting. There are famous stories, and then there are some that have happened that way that kind of flew under the radar, and they flew under the radar mostly because it wasn't so talked about openly that, you know, these are all things that I've heard that have happened in the past. Parents were offered a job and a house and all that, and player didn't really want to go to this school but had to do that for his family, or there was just a monetary offer that they could not refuse. Players have gone to schools they haven't wanted to go to all the time, but it also gets dirtier, darker than that, more unfortunate than that, where I've heard, you've, I'm sure, heard these stories as well, where a player's livelihood was threatened, that if your son doesn't go to X school, you won't have a job anymore. I'll fire you. That kind of pressure has been applied in the past. And that is, common practice is not the right phrase, but that's recruiting sometimes. Recruiting is ugly at times. And recruiting is dirty at times. And if it went down exactly as been reported, as the family would not sign off on him going to Ole Miss, then that's, you know, that's recruiting. Should it be that way? No, it shouldn't be that way. But is it that way? Well, of course it is. That is not uncommon. I remember, it's been a little while now since this happened, but there is a former LSU player that spent some time in the NFL that showed up to his signing day ceremony wearing red and blue with the intention of signing with Ole Miss. Somebody got to mom. He wasn't allowed to go to Ole Miss. That does happen. In the portal era, it's a little bit more risky, I suppose, or however you want to frame it. But as bad as this sounds, and a lot of you will disagree with this, but Mississippi State did what they had to do to save face on signing day, because that image of him standing next to his brother holding up the land shark fin with Ole Miss on his chest, his brother is a current player at Mississippi State, the optics of that were awful for Mississippi State. They were awful. And they did whatever they needed to do to make sure that didn't happen. Is that gross to say out loud? Maybe. Does that not sit right with some people? Absolutely. Is that recruiting? Is that unique to this situation? It's not. Players have gone to schools that they didn't want to go to because of outside pressure. It's just reality. Ole Miss loses out on a blue chip linebacker. He would have certainly helped. He seems like a really good prospect, but Ole Miss still signed a top 15 class, and they'll be active in the portal. And I mean, there's even rumors that Paul and Daugherty are going to return next year. I don't know if that's Daugherty's going to return, but I don't know if the Paul aspect of that is true. If so, then linebacker's a next year problem anyway for Ole Miss. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They have 16 locations here, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Check them out, because they'll treat you like family, like they do me and mine. So let's get to your comments. Again, I know I'm late. I know. So this is probably going to be a little bit shorter tonight, but I want to read as many of these as I can. Real quick, can we talk about how good Ole Miss basketball looked on Tuesday? The SEC in general has surpassed the ACC in the college basketball hierarchy. Absolutely, it has. And yeah, they have. And what I loved about the way Ole Miss played the other night was they took it to Louisville. The activity, the pressure, both defensive, like just the defensive activity and attacking the basket, the guards. And Ole Miss, you know, has a couple of small guards or smaller guards, right? They don't have 6'6" all the way across the perimeter, but with Padula and Murray, and I mean, Matt Morrell hasn't really had that big explosive game, but that they are so good at guard and they can beat you from the outside. They attack the basket well. They've shared the basketball pretty well. The pressure that they applied on Louisville, on the road, and they just out of the gate just really brought it to them, both on both sides of the floor with intensity and activity. And the guard play for Ole Miss is going to be really good. I think the bigs are playing a little bit better, and you're getting some help there. They're going to have to go small sometimes, and that's going to become an issue, especially against some of these bigger teams in the league. But Ole Miss, they look like a tournament team. The league is an absolute bear. I mean, it's a bear. But they look like a tournament team right now. They've got the pieces to make the tournament. Are they perfect? No. Are they flawed? Yes, they are. They're flawed. But they look like they've got the makeup to be a tournament team. You think the Lockhart situation is unfortunate, and you say that because it seems to me that the kid didn't get a choice on where he was going to play. Say, I know there's a rumor about State threatening to pull his brother's scholarship if he went to Ole Miss. We don't know if that's true or not, but his family at the ceremony looked pissed off. Yeah, I was told, I actually just straight up asked Hey Dad on air if the screenshot going around from D. Warren is Demetric Warren saying that, and he doesn't think that that's who that is. And so if that's just like random guy on message board, that's a little bit better, I suppose. But here's the thing, that would not be the first time that's happened in recruiting. That would not be the first time something's been used as incentive to make sure that a player goes to a school. That wouldn't be the first time that it's happened. Does it make it okay? Well, no. In the grand scheme of things, the way recruiting has shaken out is not okay. LSU used a hospital charity to funnel money to football players. I mean, college football, that's what has frustrated me so much about the NIL discourses. Stuff like that used to be the only way to get players. I assume it's less likely now. At least it feels like it's more transactional and less under the table. But that for a lot of situations, has been common practice. I mean, it's not every, it doesn't go down like that for every player, but it has gone down like that too often to count. I don't know if it's true or not, but would it surprise me? No, it wouldn't surprise me. They needed a win. They needed a win in any way they could get it. On a football note, Ole Miss signed a really good class. You like what Kiffin had to say in the press conference too? Yeah. Feel like Pete Golding is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. Can't wait to see what he does with the young talent next season. Oh, but Alabama fans, they're here to tell you how bad he is. He sucks, remember? He's awful. He's just awful. I mean, he get him out of town or whatever. Obviously a very good recruiter and a very good evaluator of talent, and also is able to extract the best out of players. Him being at Ole Miss is massive. And they're paying him like crazy. I mean, he's earned it, and he's earned a raise this offseason as well. I don't care what kind of players you have. You don't coach the ranking defense that they had. I mean, what was it, top 10 in basically every category, including first and sacks and tackles for loss. That's not just players. Ask Texas A&M. It's not just players. It's coaching as well. Hear you out. Call me what you want to call me. You don't think Ole Miss is 100% eliminated. If Boise loses to UNLV, Boise is probably out because they'll drop from 10. We pass them in that scenario. Here's the thing, though, Austin. UNLV then assumes Boise State's spot. The winner of the Mountain West gets in, regardless if it's Boise or UNLV. So there will be no moving up spots because UNLV will have to make it should they win. 12 is unlikely. Very, very unlikely to get in. I guess it's possible. 13 is basically out. They're not leaving Georgia out. Georgia can lose by 20, and they're still going to make it. They're not going to allow the loser of the SEC championship to not get in. It's not going to happen. And look, this could happen, I suppose. SMU is, if they lose to Clemson, I think that they're still going to get in as well. And even if they don't, then that's where Miami could slip in instead of Ole Miss. They've been eliminated at 13. They're not getting in. The class itself is really good, and tomorrow they'll see on Tylan Lee. The staff has done a great job on defense, especially the last few classes, and consistently winning the state's best recruits. Yep. Do I think that they'll still be portal heavy, like top five class? I don't know if they'll get a top five class again, but yes, they're going to be very active in the transfer portal. I don't think he's going to. I don't know this one way or the other. I don't think Austin Simmons is going to play baseball, but if Austin Simmons plays baseball, then they're definitely going to get a portal quarterback. They might get one anyway. But they need – I know they just signed a bunch of them in high school, but they need wide receivers. They will at least try to get some of the very few elite offensive line that hit the portal. They're going to have to replenish on the defensive line. They are – if the Chris Paul rumors are true, which I don't know if they are. I have no idea if they are or not. Then you are less needy at linebacker, but you still need to get one, at least one. You're replacing Amos in the secondary. They're going to sign a lot of guys in the transfer portal. So stupid, you have the 12-team playoff looks, best 12 teams. That's not what it is, though. I think you're already going to start seeing the wheels turning on expansion again. The way the committee chair has answered questions about this has not inspired confidence in SEC land. And the SEC and the Big Ten basically control college football moving forward. So, yeah, I think that you're already going to see the expansion push. Already. You think Ole Miss will be in contention every year for the playoff at 12 teams? I mean, I don't see them having a worse year than 8-4 with Kiffin as coach. 2022 was the Auburn rumors. Yeah, they choked a couple of games there. I mean, you know, next year is going to be tough losing what they lose and having to replace it, right? I like the nucleus that they have returning. I mean, even on defense, frankly, I mean, with Centarian Perkins and like Xavier Harris, in the four stars that they signed on the defensive line a year ago, paired with what they've got currently at linebacker, and the front six has a chance to be really, really good again. Imagine mixing a portal guy or two into that, or three into that, and suddenly you're still really cooking again there. There's just no way of knowing what they can do on a year-in and year-out basis, but when you're building a foundation through the class that they just signed, paired with their very good reputation, maybe the running back position this year, you know, dampens that a little bit. But Ole Miss has a good reputation in the transfer portal, specifically about getting paid. That they make promises and they deliver on said promises financially. And it's a well-oiled machine. And because of that, they are an attractive portal destination. They're easy to work with. And it's not just me saying that to butter you guys up. I mean, national people that cover the NIL space have said that repeatedly, that Ole Miss is not the richest collective in college football, but they have a very good business reputation, essentially. Or at least that's what the people that cover NIL nationally say, and I'll take their word for it. The schedule next year, it's funny, actually. I know that Neil McCready put it out, but I certainly did not want to talk about that since, you know, that's paywalled information. But I did have somebody send it to me today that would know beyond taking it from Neil. And I mean, the schedule sets up really well. I'm going to save that, to be honest with you, because I want to use that next week because they're getting released on Wednesday night. So we might go live Wednesday night as a result of that. But I like the way the schedule sets up next year. What are they like at quarterback? And who is it? That will be the thing. But 8 home games. There's not the 4 non-conference to start the season. Helps a little bit. One thing that's been impressive about the staff, you say, is that they have been able to go into county schools that state has had a pipeline to and get those guys. Look at Mason Dunn out of Tupelo. Big get. Yeah. I mean, same thing with Cunningham. The tide is turning a little bit in the state of Mississippi about who can lock down, players from certain areas. I think that's changing some, and NIL helps that, I assume. But Pete Golding helps that. What if Penn State lost by like 30? They're still getting in. They're still getting in. If SMU loses, they will put Bama in. You're 100% in that boat. Well, Bama's already in. Oh, but I guess what you're saying is they will make sure that they get in over SMU. The committee chair has essentially said that they're not going to do that, but can you take them at their word? I don't know. Is Kiffin going to pull the plug on Charlie? Also, you think Kevin Smith needs to be gone too after what's been going on? I may be wrong. I don't think that you're going to see a coordinator change. Again, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I do think that they need to make some changes offensively. Because, look, one bad game, hell, two bad games, two off nights, it's fine. It happens. But they had more than two, frankly. They had more than three. Defense won the Egg Bowl. They struggled against the worst defense in the SEC. So they struggled in the second half against South Carolina. So second half offense has been a big talking point in their losses. Well, what about the wins? Hasn't been really great there either all season. They have been very inconsistent, and I think that they need to do some self-scouting and evaluation and figure out why, and just running it back fully intact the way they have. I don't know if that's the best decision. Generally don't think Kiffin thinks the offense was bad, though. How he talks after the loss is one play away, and it's different. This is the million-dollar question. If SMU loses and Kiffin and Clemson gets the auto bid, do they put Miami in over SMU? If they do, I want to hear that conversation. I'm just saying I don't trust the committee. No, you shouldn't. They also addressed some needs at offensive line. Devin Harper is a massive get out of Louisiana, and now today they flip Connor Howes from Arkansas. Two blue-chip offensive linemen committed elsewhere a week ago. One to LSU, one to Arkansas, and they flipped them late. It's big time. You don't think the Lockhart thing was some elaborate troll job? No, it wasn't. It was not. Nope. Just finally catching up to you guys in the chat before I went live. Again, please forgive me. Just something came up that I had to deal with. And I could not go live, but we're in bed and we're sleeping now, so we're all good. Back to the Lockhart thing. His brother and their best friend play at State. The family seems tied there and didn't want him at Ole Miss. If I'm Ole Miss, I'd flush it and move on, which is what I think they're doing. Let the MSU people celebrate. That is what I think they're doing. It reminds you of the most of when Landon Collins signed with Alabama way back in the day. No kidding. Will Juice stay? No, he's already accepted a bid to one of the All-Star games. Not the Senior Bowl, but one of them. Barry and Brown entered the portal, and I'm sure we all know Ole Miss is going to be in on that. Really would be a little surprised if he doesn't end up in Oxford. Heard about this for 2 years. No kidding. I mean, the Barry and Brown to Oxford thing has been a thing for a long time. Maybe it finally comes to fruition. Very talented, has not been utilized the way his skill set should have been at Kentucky. Cunningham, obviously the crown jewel of the class. Him and Winston Watkins are big-time pickups at wide receiver, and they signed a fantastic top 10 running back in Mills Knight. Yeah, and he hadn't been playing football that long either, right? He's kind of new to the game, so there's a little bit still of rawness to his game despite the elite ability. Happy with the class, but still need the portal because they're still in the bottom half of the conference in high school recruiting. That they are, but the gap between like 5 and 9 in the SEC is basically nothing. So yes, they will need to use the portal to try to level the playing field with what Georgia did, of course, but that's what they've been doing already. The difference is this high school class is the best that they've signed. So they're elevating what they do in high school while still being very active and likely very successful in the portal yet again. The depth they build at defensive line is very impressive. No doubt, man. No doubt. So currently looking like the Gator Bowl for Ole Miss. I'd assume Citrus would want Carolina more, and apparently ReliQuest wants Florida. I'd love to see them play Miami just because it would be funny. Yeah, so who would they play in the Gator Bowl? Is that that's a Big Ten tie-in game, right? Would it be – let's see. I mean, that's a Big Ten SEC game, right? Right? We'll just go with that. It also has an ACC tie-in as well. Interesting. Could it be Clemson? There will be less talent in the transfer portal going forward because there will be about a 15% drop in eligible players. Yeah, COVID thing gone. Lockhart still has all the Ole Miss posts up on his social media. What a weird situation. Yeah. You assume there was a sense of desperation from state with how their class went? Yes. As a program and fan base, they're in a really terrible spot. They have to get wins somewhere, and yesterday was an opportunity they sort of won out on. Yes, I mean that's what it is. They're going to have to stack wins to try to build their program. It's trying to build from 2-10 is very, very hard. And so, I mean, like in the portal, they're going to have to overspend on some guys. I mean, it's just reality. I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say on the radio. They might have to do that. They're going to have some wins. And yesterday for them was a win. What's the ceiling for Ole Miss men's basketball? I mean, they could be a second weekend team with the right draw for sure. They definitely can be a tournament team. Most underrated recruit Ole Miss signed that could be a star. There's very few underrated recruits considering there's 15 four stars in the class. Maybe Bradley, the tight end. It's a big kid. Athletic as well. Maybe him. Walters, the linebacker, maybe. Underrated. If state offered the parents money on the side, would state have to reveal that publicly? No money that is offered in NIL or anything has to be revealed publicly. None of it. With Hutzler coming back, is DC don't think it's a guarantee Lebby gets year three? Yeah, with him coming back and basically, I guess, the entire staff, it is... they better win. I mean, they just simply better win. They cannot let Simmons play baseball. Feels like malpractice to lose out on spring training and risk arm injury that completely screws over the 2025 season. Yeah, I mean, that's been my position. Look, I mean, if he wants to play baseball, that's fine. If he wants to play baseball, fine. You go play baseball. If I'm Lane Kiffin, this is what I'm saying. If you want to play baseball, that's great. That's fine. I'm getting next year's starting quarterback in the transfer portal then. You can compete. You can show up to practice when you can in the spring, and maybe you can make all of them. That'd be great if you could. But my intention is to go to the transfer portal to find next year's starter, because next year's starter should not be playing baseball in the spring with an elbow injury already from a season ago. If you want to risk that and risk injury and risk missing time and being away from your team and let somebody else win the job, that's fine. You can do that. But that will inspire a more intentional approach at quarterback in the transfer portal. I think they're already going to try to look for one, but that will make it more quote-unquote desperate. Would you say getting a guy like Poopall back is the difference in half to even a whole win next season? Oh, I mean, ooh, is one linebacker that valuable? Man, his play, gosh. Him and Dottery together are the best duo of linebackers since Campbell and Robinson, but those two are better than Campbell and Robinson. So the best duo of linebackers since when would be a fun exercise. Yeah, if he returns, that's huge. Because that just makes the middle of your defense so solid, so freaking solid. And then with Santarian Perkins roaming off the edges as well, your three starting linebackers, because Perkins, I guess you can count as a linebacker. Is that the best trio in the SEC going into next year? Maybe. If Levy were to go 0-8 in SEC play again, you wouldn't be opposed to scrapping Weiss and bringing him back. I think he would do really good things. I don't know if that relationship would be... I don't know. They coached good offense this season. They didn't have the players to win. You can't trust anything the committee says. Ward Manuel's an idiot. Certainly loves to serve up word salad. Chase, our resident anti-expansionist, had an epiphany, he says. I've seen the light with the new information and changed my tune on playoff expansion. We got parity I didn't think we would get. I'm okay with being wrong, but looking at the seeding and matchups, Bama mashes Notre Dame and Georgia beats the unholy hellfire out of Indiana, then beat Boise and SMU, and I'll be damned if it won't be Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, and the arbitrary fourth. No kidding, man. As a media person, do you have any thoughts on what happened with the MSU football creative team getting fired? A lot of them that I probably need to keep to myself. It's very sad that a lot of people lost their job. I mean, that's horrible, right? It's a cutthroat business, and that, you know, that sucks. People moved their families, right, just to be terminated not too terribly long after. I do know that there has been dissatisfaction among the fan base about their media department when it comes to video content, social content, stuff like that. There has been some very strong frustrations about that. One side has told their story about the toxic work environment. I can't comment on that. I didn't work there. I don't know. But I know, because I saw it every week from their fans, they were frustrated with that department. Walters is a dog, also a walk-on, so you love to see it. State does have to overspend, Chase, the State fan says. They need to buy a base roster and get to 5 wins and be competitive in 2 other losses. They get extra leash with having to start year one with a bottom half Sun Belt team. You can only imagine if Matt Luke was the coach in 2020 with Plumlee and Jerry Neely playing baseball. What a mess that would have been. Oof. Chase follows up. They also, I feel, aren't getting the credit, Toledo aside, for having 6 teams on 9 weeks that had a say in the playoff reveal up until last Tuesday night. It was a no-win situation. Yeah, I mean, a brutal schedule. And unfortunately, Chase, for your Bulldogs, it just flips next year. So you'll be hosting Texas and Tennessee and Georgia and Ole Miss, and you'll have to go to Fayetteville, and you'll have to go to Texas A&M, and you'll have to go to Missouri. That is not fun. That is not fun. But anyway, sorry about, you know, being late. Please forgive me for that. But we'll be back on Sunday. A lot's going to happen between now and then. There'll be a lot of football, and I'm looking forward to talking with you guys about it. In the meantime, Ole Miss, top 15 recruiting class, very, very, very good. Supplementing it with the portal, that is sustainable roster building to be competitive on an annual basis if they continue to do it like this. See y'all Sunday. Thank you so much.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.